I just want us all to take a moment as we get started here. You know, we're talking about Vision Day 2024. And, you know, I went through a lot of CDs this week. I've just got so many things that are just kind of stockpiled at my house. You ever get that point where you just kind of dig yourself out of your own pile? And so I'm going through things. And by the way, we now have a resource center in the back because there's things, in some cases, a lot of things that have just been piling up at my house. And we want to just give people opportunity to take things. There's like two 2024 Kenneth Copeland Ministry calendars back there. There's Faith to Faith books to encourage, you know, people to be in the Word and reading through the Word in a year and so forth. But I found a CD that was from 2017, and it was our Vision Day from 2017. And that's about as far back as I can track us doing Vision Days. And so that's like, what, 8 years ago? And it's just powerful to hear, and I listened to a lot of it. You know, I went back and heard a lot of what the Lord was showing us back then. And it's just a powerful thing to step across the kind of the faith line into a new year with some expectations, right? And with a plan and with something God has showed you. We're not just winging it and making things up and all of that, you know? And it's just awesome to go back through those things. I may at some point produce a CD that has every Vision Day we've ever done. Because they don't, you know, just because God said something 10 years ago doesn't mean it's now irrelevant, right? So we're still standing and believing God for things. But as we pray, we're just going to spend a moment, you know, maybe a minute or so, and just get quiet before the Lord and just jot down. A lot of you may already have a list, and we're going to pray over them today. You know, toward the end of the service, but especially the top three things. I remember Jerry Seville in a believers convention doing this a couple of years ago, and it's always stuck with me. He's like, just write down the top three things that you're believing God for. He's like, you may have a longer list than that, but if you can just think of the top three, and we're going to, you know, anoint and pray over those things today. So Father, in Jesus' name, we give you the praise and glory. As we step into this Vision Day 2024, we thank you, God, that you have ideas, concepts, and insights, and visions, and dreams, and things for us to be doing. And we just thank you, Lord, for giving us clarity, Lord, to just think of those top three things that we're going to be believing for in 2024. Now just take a moment. We're just going to be quiet before the Lord. And just write them down. Write on your notes page there. Praise, praise, praise the Lord forevermore. So, Father, we thank you for this time together today. We thank you, God, for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Well, we need to get cooking because there's a lot to cook. Amen. And I like to start with who are we as a church. This is a two-sided notes page today. And then the second side is some prophetic words that were of note. Amen. That we want to always look at and claim and keep in front of us. Amen. Redeemed Church. Who is Redeemed Church? Well, Psalm 107, if you want to open your Bibles to Psalm 107. This is really the foundational chapter in the Bible that the Lord gave me for our church. Amen. And Psalm 107, verse 2, is kind of our biblical mandate, our calling. It's funny, Reed and I were hanging out a bit the other day, and we drove past another church in Portland, and it was called like Redemption or something. And we started joking, hey, wait a second. We're Redeemed Church. We ought to call a lawyer, press charges. We own that title we actually do own the title in the state of Washington. For a nominal fee, we do, right? But it's funny to get possessive about, you know, church names, right? The First Church of God, right? It's like, wait a second, right? We're a big family, right? So when we say Redeemed Church, we're not saying we are the only, like the Ohio State University, right? No, we are the body of Christ. And God gives ministries and churches visions and, you know, tracks to run on, and they answer to Jesus, right? And so this chapter, when the Lord gave us the name Redeemed Church, was really the chapter that jumped out, especially verse 2, which says this: let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Who has redeemed him? Who has redeemed us? The Lord has redeemed us, right? We haven't redeemed ourselves. We're not in the business of redeeming anybody. I have been redeemed myself. And the same Redeemer that's redeeming me can redeem you and anybody else who calls on the name. Hallelujah, right? And redeem means things like to buy back, to pay off, to recover. I've heard the term rescue. Here's some synonyms: to win back, to recoup, to regain, to restore, to ransom, to change, discharge, exchange, purchase, recapture, reinstitute, retrieve, settle, call in, get back, take in, trade in. Amen. So I traded in my sorrow for joy. I traded in my sickness for health. I traded in my poverty for prosperity. I traded in my sin for righteousness. I traded in hell for heaven. It's really not a hard decision, is it? Right? And so that's who we are as a church. Somebody say, we are Redeemed Church. Amen. A place where people can come to the Redeemer and give their lives to him and commit our lives to following him. But the whole chapter is just marvelous, and it's full of great things to look at. I'm not going to read the entire thing because of time today, but look at it. It starts off with the first few verses. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered. Somebody say gathered. Gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north, from the south. We spend time every week calling in people from the north, south, east, and west. We send out the gatherers, the angels. There are gathering angels that can supernaturally bring people to Christ, set up situations and circumstances in their lives, situations and circumstances in their lives to bring them to Jesus, to bring them into the church. There are people that actually, I remember at New Beginnings, Pastor Brad Makowski, and that was, man, what an amazing move of God in the 90s to around the 2000, to get to be a part of that church in Portland was a thrill. They paid me to be there. I was on staff. And honestly, I would have paid them to be there, to just get to see that and be around that environment. And people were just getting saved by the hundreds, coming in off the streets, and altar calls packed, and all of these things. But Pastor Brad Makowski, the associate pastor, said, we pray for God to send out the gatherers. There are even people that have a gathering anointing about them. Right? Like the Pied Piper. Follow me to church. And a move of God, well, I mean, it's just a marvelous thing to be a part of such a special thing, right? And I believe what we're doing here, just this group of us in this room, is a significant, special thing. Amen. Glory to God. But each one of these little sections of this chapter has to do with somebody who needs Jesus. How many know everybody needs Jesus? It's just a matter of what does it take to get him to that point where they realize, I need Jesus, right? Amen. Well, verse 4 says this: they wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. And then they cried out to the Lord. Hallelujah, right? So people that are wanderers, wandering spiritually, the Lord gave me a vision years ago of a little starving kid, little child. The belly was all swollen and reaching up to me, and I just wanted to reach up and grab him. And that was before I went into, I thought it was a call to children's ministry, which it was for a time, but now I understand even more about that it's about his body. It's about his people that are starving spiritually, malnourished, and their spirit man is literally dying, right? So that our calling to work for the Redeemer is to give them a place to come. How many know it's really nice to come to places now where you can hear truth and hear common sense and receive true love and hope, right? It's like a breath of fresh air. I had a guy visit us recently from another church, and he said, this place is a breath of fresh air. Right, well, that's confirmation that Jesus is using this place and you. Amen? And verse 10 says, those who sat in darkness in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord. Oh, good idea. Right? So people that are bound, that are sitting in darkness, lost, these are the ones we call for the angels to gather in. And there is no, you know, there's no limit to the people he can reach. They can be people that are, you know, on the top of the ladder, that are just as bound and addicted as the people that are on the streets of any nationality. Amen. Any state in their life. We're here. Somebody say, we're here, Lord. Right? We're here in prayer. We're standing for these people to be saved. Verse 17, fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food. They drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord. The Bible says the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Amen. So we're calling for an awakening. Pastor George Pearson's has been ministering this past week or two on getting the body of Christ to do, their church is going to do a three-week Daniel fast in February for the awakening of God to come on the church, to come on the nation, to intercede for these elections this year, to intercede for Israel and any personal needs in anyone's lives, right? Amen. I think I'm going to believe God to participate in that. A Daniel fast just means setting aside something pleasant that you like to eat or drink, right? Pray about it, think about it. We'll talk more about this as we go, but it's not, they're going to do it in February. I think that would be a good idea. When you think about what's at stake, I can say no to a steak for what's at stake, right? Amen. So, believing God to minister to people. We don't come to church to show off or act all holier than thou or, you know, religious ritual, whatever. We come to church expecting Jesus to save, deliver, and heal. Amen? Verse 25 says this, they mount up to the heavens, they go down again to the depths. Wait, let's back up to 23. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters. Verse 26, they mount up to the heavens, they go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro, stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. We're believing God for people that are at their wit's end. Amen. Right? And this indicates financial issues, whatever the issue is, it's the same Redeemer, right? Hallelujah. And then it says, he calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet, so he guides them to their desired haven. In verses 41 through 43, he sets the poor on high, far from affliction. He makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice. and all iniquity stops its mouth. Who's ready for iniquity to just shut up? Right? Sin and the devil, right? Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. A greater understanding of the loving kindness of the Lord. That's our slogan for our church, is to be a place where love reigns, where people grow in their understanding of how much God loves them, right? If I understand more and more and more and more and more and more about how much he loves me, I'm a lot more lovable. Amen, right? Somebody just say, God loves me. My Father loves me, and therefore I can love you. Amen. It's easier to forgive people and not hold things against people when we understand how much we're loved. Hallelujah. Amen. But the four E's of Redeemed Church, if you noticed, Redeemed has four E's in it. Hallelujah. And they each have a meaning. And we haven't talked about this much, you know, in recent history. So it's good to look at it again. Exalting Jesus. Hallelujah. There are, you know, parts of the body of Christ that have kind of forgotten it's a Jesus thing. Right? It's about Jesus. Jesus is the one that saved me. He's the one that died for me. Yeah, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, the oneness of God. But I wasn't saved by Jehovah. I wasn't saved by the Holy Ghost. I was saved by one. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is who saved me. Jesus is the name above all names. There's a oneness in the Godhead, yes. But we should never forget to preach Jesus Christ. No one gets saved preaching Jehovah to them or preaching the Holy Ghost to them. It's preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified and him resurrected. Hallelujah. Amen. That's where the victory is. Now, he gives us fellowship with our Father, absolutely. A good example, I think, is a cell phone, right? Jesus would represent the physical structure of this phone. I need to talk to the Father, but I also need T-Mobile or whatever your service provides. That's the Holy Ghost. See what I'm saying? So we go, we're communing with our Heavenly Father through Jesus by the Holy Ghost. So it's all one thing. But when people come in, they're gathering in, they don't need to hear about Jehovah. Now we'll teach on these things, amen. But these are core things of who we are as a church, right? Jesus is who saves the person. Faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Encouraging his people. This ought to be a place where you are encouraged in your faith. The devil ought to be discouraged, and you ought to be encouraged in your faith. Exalting Jesus, encouraging his people, building people up with the word of God. Equipping his people, that's another E. Get equipped with the word of God, the word of faith. Amen. Embracing the world. And that doesn't mean we're embracing the philosophy of the world. Doesn't mean we're putting rainbows on the logo. It's kind of like, remember that game Red Rover? Red Rover sends Susie right over and they try to break through. It's kind of like saying, if you want to go to hell, you're going to have to break through us. Right? We're embracing the world with the love of Jesus Christ and with the truth of the gospel. Hallelujah. Now, we also have core values here at Redeemed Church. I want to read these scriptures. And so, a lot of this I received from Eagle Mountain International Church. I just, when we began to pastor, I needed a place myself to plug in. And we're not a part of a traditional, like, denomination, that kind of thing. I was raised Foursquare. Shelley, I think, Assemblies of God a lot. When I was in college, I went to a Methodist church because it was within walking distance of the college, right? We actually met in a Catholic high school for the first few years. as a church. Amen. The body of Christ is a big, big body. Amen. But when I had always felt compelled to not be limited to a denomination. Nothing against denominations. We're all a part of the same body. I just feel like I'm a Christian, right? I'm a part of all of the body of Christ. So I guess then you go toward the non-denominational, whatever they call it, independent, right? And that's what New Beginnings was. And I just really clicked there and grew there. And when the Lord led me to do this, led us to do this, and gave us the opportunity to do this, that's what we chose to go with, which really means you're stepping out even more by faith because you don't have a natural support system around you, right? Someone looking over your shoulder, here's your building, whatever, right? No, you don't have any of that. You got to step out and follow the Lord. And I just had always felt a connection with Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and I'd heard of George and Terry Pearson's, but I really had never done much research about their church. But man, I'll tell you, when I felt compelled to plug in at that church when I started doing this. So every single Sunday morning before I come here, I watch them. And I'm on their chat line, and I'm watching their services, and I'm, you know, plugging in on the Victory Channel throughout the week. And it's just been my stream. How many of those who feed must be fed themselves? You don't want somebody up here that's just winging it, doing our own thing and making our own rules. That's creepy, right? Amen. But these core values were inspired by Pastor George and Terry because they have core values for their church. And you'll hear me refer to them and others quite often because I'm feeding somewhere. Amen. But our core values, we have six of them. We walk in love. Everybody say, we walk in love. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. We live by faith. Somebody say, we live by faith. Romans 1, 16 and 17, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. We have some faith-to-faith books right back there for if anybody needs one. Good, great devotional. We pray about everything. If somebody say, I pray about everything. Boy, I'll tell you what, I married a prayer warrior. Amen. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 in the Living Bible says it this way. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. I heard Jerry Seville's other daughter, there's Terry and Jerry Ann. I think their mother, Carolyn, is a prayer warrior. And they taught their girls. You know, ever heard somebody say, don't just sit there, do something. Don't just sit there, do something. Well, Jerry Ann said, don't just do something, sit there. Don't you love that? Pray. Don't just do something. Sit there and pray for a while. Seek the Lord's face. Amen. So don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs. Don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. The next one, we put God's word first. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 6, 5 and 7, 5 through 7, Amplified Classic. It's interesting because there was one year that God, the theme for the year was we put God's word first. And in the first quarter of that year or so, I don't remember exactly when it was, I had a co-worker that used to be a Christian bookstore. He ran a Christian bookstore. And he had like dozens and dozens of Bibles he needed to get rid of, all brand new, like $50, $60 Bibles, different translations. And it was so cool that this year that we were putting God's word first, he like dumped a whole, whole bunch of Bibles on us, and we sewed a lot of them out into different missionaries and places, and I've still got several of them on my in my library. Amen. But it says, Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7, you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind and heart and your entire being with all your might. And these words which I'm commanding you this day shall be first. Somebody say first. In your own minds and hearts, then you shall whet and sharpen them as to make them penetrate and teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up. Impressing them on our children. Right? That, I picked this picture because it's happy kids without a care in the world. And you'll understand more from something that Brother Copeland said made me think of that too. But how many know, man, right now it is all about the kids. If there's not a better reason to fight than for the children of this nation and kids coming across the border, it's on, man. It's on like Donkey Kong, as they say. And we have to fight for the children. Fast and pray for the children. Vote for the children. Be involved for the children. Don't hide. Come out and fight for the kids. Amen. Because they are what is at stake in a big way. And I'm not going to answer to Jesus for that. I'm going to be doing what I need to do. Right? We make disciples. Somebody say, we make disciples. Matthew 28, 18 and 19, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So we're not making disciples of Redeemed Church, right? We're making disciples of Jesus Christ. There's a supernatural transfer going on. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So that tells me every one of us ought to know our Bible enough to know that if something starts going toward left field, you know, nah, I'm staying with Jesus. How many believers have gone the wayside because a man who was anointed by God started going toward left field for the money or whatever else, and all these people followed them because they liked the man? Well, we need to know the man first. Hallelujah. In this nation, we have a right to have as many Bibles as we want to and be reading it and studying it. Amen. And hearing it preached. Hallelujah. And then finally, we are led by the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, I'm led by the Holy Ghost. Right? Romans 8, 14 and 15 says this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Everybody say, Abba, Father. Daddy God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, are you ready to look at these prophetic words now? Hallelujah. We are just as excited today as we ever were about pastoring and being in the ministry and serving God and partnerships. You know, another thing, you know, talking about, and again, nothing against denominations. I've asked the Lord about it. I said, Lord, if you want me to be a Baptist, I'll be a Baptist. I'll be praying in tongues as a Baptist, but I'll be a Baptist. I'll go back to school. I'll connect with some, whatever you want me to do. And I just hear him say, keep doing what you're doing. So I need you doing what you're doing. Don't worry about what they're doing or this guy's doing or that group's doing, or you keep your eyes on me, pray for the body of Christ at large, but you're responsible to do and say what he's put in you to do and to say. Amen. And that even comes down with, like a lot of these ministries that I'm going to share about, they are partnerships. I love the Copelands, you know, have really emphasized the power of biblical partnership, right? That doesn't mean they're calling me, asking me what the offering was this week, or what are you preaching on? No. Keith Moore said that. He's like, how many, isn't it wonderful that we don't have somebody calling us, telling us what to preach about? There's a freedom in Jesus. And people are free, let me just say this, people are free to come or go. Hallelujah. There's no locks on the doors. There have been some. I remember one specific occasion that a really beautiful couple, and they were associated with the higher-ups of a pretty large denomination who I greatly admire and respect, knew a lot of the same names that I knew. But when Shelley got up to speak, the man got offended and they never came back because a woman was speaking. They weren't hearing Jesus. They were hearing who was up there speaking. I had a guy I was training once in business, and he had some interesting notions, man. And he was like, well, at your church, do you play guitars? Yes, sir, we do. Do you have drums? No, but if we did, we'd be playing them. Do women speak? Yes, sir. If they're anointed by God, if they're called by God, you better believe it. Because I'll tell you this, you're a guy, but you'll never speak. Didn't say that. But I mean, there's a lot of men, just because you're a man doesn't mean you got any right to get up and say anything. Right? There's women who are called, men who are called. I think we all know the first people Jesus sent to tell everybody he had risen were women. Because the men were hiding. It is funny. It's comical. Now, there is an order. There is an order to it. If Jesus, if the Father came and said, he's not going to go to Shelley, he's coming to me. Because there is a biblical order to things. Amen. But after he comes to me, I'm going to ask Shelley first. Let's get it. Hallelujah. But these partnerships are awesome. It doesn't mean that I understand or agree with everything Kenneth Copeland says, or everything Jesse DePlanis says, or everything, you know, Hank Kudeman says. I don't know. I'm not with them all the time. I don't know. Here's what I've told people before. I'm like, listen, there's things I hear myself say, and I'll listen to it later and be like, that was totally wrong. I disagree with myself on that issue now. Never say it again, right? So these are human beings. But there's an anointing of God on these ministries. And I do submit myself. I do submit myself to the anointing on these ministries. And that's a strong statement. I submit this church, my anointing that I have, I'm under this covering right here. I'm prayerfully, you know, I pray for these ministries. We actually sow into these ministries regularly financially, right? And so there's a powerful connection to what we're going to say. We're going to speak these words and just believe God for just a powerful, awesome year. Amen? But I would encourage you to keep these words before you. Visit these places on your own. You can do that. These aren't places you have to have the special pastoral passcode. Who is it? Are you Pastor Steve? Okay, you may listen, but no one else. No, that's not like that at all, right? Amen. So let's look at Kenneth Copeland. I'm just gonna read. Let's just stick with the plan here. If you want more, I put links there where you can hear more, watch more. A lot of you are already doing it, right? And I can see where I made a few typos already, but. From Kenneth Copeland Ministries, you can see him on kcm.org, emic.org. This is a lot of this I heard even on their New Year's Eve service, Victory Network, you know. But Brother Copeland said this, the Lord said through the prophet, this is a prophetic anointing. We're talking about prophetic anointing here, okay? And there's a message on our website, on the radio. There's like a radio page, and I think it says something about receiving prophecy. That's a good thing to listen to. Because just because somebody calls himself a prophet or says they have a prophecy for you doesn't mean you should just receive that. Amen? Make sure it bears witness with you and your spirit. That is biblical, for one thing, right? Here we go. So Brother Copeland says this. 2024 will be a year of more and more and more and more. More finances, more healings, more miracles, more outpourings, more people coming to Jesus, more things happening. Now see, that just sounds like something I want to be a part of. That's one way you know a prophetic word is for you. I just feel, you know, like when Mary came to Elizabeth and the baby leaped in Elizabeth, I feel that's like a leaping in my, yes, I want that, right? He continues, I am the God of increase, says the Lord. I'm not the God of death, but I am the God of war. So rejoice and be glad, for I have things well under control. For those who will obey me, this is a huge part of the year right here. For those who will obey me and will listen to my voice, I will keep and protect you throughout 2024. Pray, obey, and vote. And that was from August or October 27th of last year. And then just a couple weeks ago, he continued. He shared some other things in a service, and this was a powerful statement here. He said, in 2024, we're standing on victory shore. That's where that picture came from. In 2024, we're standing on victory shore. We launch out into the deep, and a great harvest we will reap. We're standing on victory shore in 2024. I don't know about you, but I am ready to see God move in the lives of children and save and defend and protect and put people in places of leadership who will defend and protect children. Children ought to be carefree. Just be kids. Don't have all this trash pushed on them. You know, whether it's abortion, or whether it's transgender, homosexual agenda stuff, or whether it's trafficking, or whether it's deprogramming them with hatred toward America and people of other nationalities. No! We take a stand for the children in 2024. At the end of this year, they're going to be more free without people in office. When I was typing a note in my phone about elections, and my phone autocorrected and said ejections. There's some people that if they don't repent, they will be ejected. Not elected, they'll be ejected. Like an umpire. You're out of here! Hey, it's about the kids, man. It's not about us getting what we want. It's about children being able to be safe and free of this crazy, satanic pressure. Hallelujah. 2024, we're going to stand on victory shore. But the big part of that is, those who obey me and listen to my voice, I will keep and protect you through 2024. And I believe that goes for every politician. If you obey and follow the voice of God, you'll be reelected or elected. Or you'll be rejected. Amen. That's the story I'm sticking with. Jerry Savile at jerryseville.org in his monthly letter. I love Jerry Savile. Another prophetic ministry that we partner with. As we step into the dawn of a new year, 2024, it is with great excitement that I share with you the prophetic word that the Lord has given me. The Lord spoke, saying, 2024 is the year of progressing, advancing, experiencing promotion, and seeing your highest expectations fulfilled. Hallelujah. And you wrote down your three highest. So we're gonna pray over that in just a few moments. Amen. Jesse Duplantis. His ministry. I love hearing what Brother Jesse's seeing for the year. He calls his a theme for the year, right? This is taken from his Voice of the Covenant magazine, the January 24th issue. Again, you can receive the same things just by visiting their website and partnering with them. And he said this, "The theme the Lord has given me for 2024 is very simple. God told me, Jesse, give me a job." Then he brought me to the first part of Genesis 18:14. "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Hallelujah. Amen. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And those top three things we're believing him for, if it's something Steve can figure out, maybe I should think a little bigger. Amen. Glory, 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 glory. And it's cool because a lot of these times these ministers will be preaching on these things throughout the year. And it's just great to feed on it. Amen. Now, Hank Kuhneman is one I've started following over the past couple of years from Lord of Hosts Church in Omaha. And at the Omaha Victory Campaign, I love Pastor Hank. I watched some of their New Year's Eve service. And he is a prophet pastor. And his wife is a preacher, too. And Pastor Brenda, right? And they have a marvelous church there. And he was going through all these spiritual things, and he had the whole church come to the New Year's Eve service. He encouraged them to wear slippers. He said, because we're entering into God's rest. It was so cool. So he's walking around and he got a suit and his slippers. And he said, "Now everybody stand." He said, hold your left leg up, everybody," like he was doing something in the spirit. He goes, "Now we've all started the year on the right foot." he's got a sense of humor. You know, spiritual people are real people, right? And they're marked by purity, too. There's a purity about their ministries and a joy about their ministries and faith and the word. But here's some things that he shared just before we pray. Amen. He said, 2024 shall be marked by acceleration. It shall be, and this is from the Victory Campaign in Omaha late last year. "It shall be marked by great change that shall come forth in the earth and shall affect and shake even the political powers that have brought evil. They have, they thought that their agenda could stand at this time, but I am shaking it, and there will not only be great change, but watch and look. You will see my anointing at a level that you have prayed, you have believed for, you have desired. I have come to bring great restoration and great reversal. You will see as my anointing destroys these yokes that have thought they would be the future for you and for your nation and for your children." Somebody say amen to that. I mean, these are things I can get behind and say, yes, come on, Jesus. Hallelujah. And then we'll close with this. For our church, I shared this a bit last week, but our slogan for this year will be, "The Lord is my defense." That's going to be, as far as I know, a lot of our teaching emphasis this year. Psalm 94:22. "But the Lord has been my defense and my God, the rock of my refuge." Hallelujah. Praise his name forevermore. Why don't y'all stand up on your feet right now, and I'm just going to invite you to bring your top three expectations to the front. We're going to present them to the Lord. I'm just going to put some anointing oil on those, and we're just going to rejoice that it's done. In Jesus' name. Just come on up to the front. Bring it with you. Hallelujah. Whether it's on paper or on your phone or whatever, in a planner, hallowed be thy name. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Lord, we bring these top three expectations before you today. We thank you that you're the God of more than enough. Jeremiah 29 and 11, we receive your plans and your thoughts over our lives. And as we anoint, we release the anointing of God, the angels of God to go to work on these things. In Jesus' name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm just going to tell you what mine are. I pray for peace and prosperity of my house, peace and prosperity of God's house, and peace and prosperity for my nation. Glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now I anoint you and yours in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We call these things done in Jesus' name. We call every plan fulfilled in the mighty name of Jesus. The visions of God, the dreams of God, the goals and visions and dreams of God, the goals, the visions and dreams of God, the goals, the visions, the dreams of the Lord, the goals, the visions, the dreams of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, we call it done. In the name of Jesus, we call it done. We call it complete. In Jesus' name, we receive divine alignment. Jesse, another thing he talked about was the divine alignment with the Father. A divine alignment, Lord, with your thoughts and your plans. In the name of Jesus, we submit these things before you. We claim them. And we rejoice in faith that it is done. In Jesus' mighty name, we rejoice in faith that it is done. We rejoice in faith that it is done. Every plan, every purpose, every ministry, every idea, every concept, health, spiritual, financial, physical, in every area of our lives, we rejoice that you are at work, super, and you're putting your super on our natural. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. All the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen and amen and amen. Tell somebody, Happy New Year. 2024 is going to be awesome. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. You are dismissed.